You know, I've heard the expression, Lord, send revival. And I read something from a precious man of God, and he says, he doesn't send it, he comes himself. Think of that. He comes himself. I'm going to be sharing today. My theme is hearing the voice of God. And the text is John 5, verse 30, New King James Version. And it says, speaking of Jesus, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious promises. We thank you for your people, for the body of Christ. Lord, as people are meeting all over the world, bless them. Cause your anointing to be their portion in Jesus' name. Amen. If we look to Christ and open our eyes and our ears, the Holy Ghost will bless us to see the Lord Jesus Christ working in our lives. Sometimes we just kind of walk around like robots, you know, and pressures of life and circumstances and different things. But if we will open our eyes, allow the Lord to anoint our eyes with eye salve, unstop our ears that we can hear. So, once again, the theme is hearing the voice of God. Obedience is a key in hearing the voice of God and not doing anything premature. We wait, we hear, not doing things in vainglory for ourselves. And, you know, when we first get saved, we're, you know, kind of hot to trot, whatever that means. And we just want to go for it. You know, you hear the word, you see people, you see lives, you hear the missionaries. And we just want to go. But, you know, God, in his economy, has a timing for everything. Yes. For everything. I'd like to share some testimonies, things that I've experienced that I trust will help you. I was saved on a little Skid Row mission in Vancouver called the Sky Pilot. It was a Glad Tidings outreach mission. I was attending Vancouver Vocational School, taking chef's training. And somebody said, well, if you don't mind hearing the preaching, you can get a good hot meal, you know, go down to this little mission. So I did, and I sat there, and I had had an experience as a very young boy with the Lord. But I heard people that were excited, that had something that I didn't have. So I went time and time again. Possibly it was the soup at first. You know, come on now. And then I just went, not because I was hungry for the food, but I was sensing the hunger for God. And one night, a guy was preaching, and I responded to the call of God to get saved. And I guess you can say, well, everything else is kind of history, but as a new believer, maybe saved for 2 years, going to a large church, I was asked to be sent out to go out to Aldergrove to start a little work. I was assisting. I wasn't the one actually planting the church, but we did everything that you had to do. And there was this family. It was largely a children's outreach. And don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the little children, because they could be the teachers, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, those that would just love people. But anyway, this little guy, his name was Joey Ben Dixon. He got saved at one of our meetings. He came from a very poor, broken family. Mother was with many men, had many children from different men. And this little Joey had such a sweet little spirit. He was about 6 years old. About a year later, we heard that little Joey had leukemia. Some of these sharings that I'm going to share with you today are very emotional for me, because you know what? It's real. It's real. Well, little Joey, he was taken into Vancouver General Hospital, and I had just started a janitor business. You know, I'm kind of a humble guy, you know, in some ways. And so I'm working away, Brookside Farms out in Mount Lehman Road, and the Lord spoke to me. Remember, the theme today is hearing the voice of God. The Lord spoke to me, and he says, Bob, if you'll go into Vancouver and pray for little Joey, I'll heal him. So my conversation with God was, well, Lord, you know who you're talking to. Really? So the second time, the Lord spoke to me all within about a half an hour. The third time, the floor was wet. You know, it's an egg grating place. And I got down on my knees. The presence of God was so heavy. I says, Lord, I'll go. But you better go with me. You better go before me. Because in myself, I can do nothing, just like Jesus said. If Jesus said it, well, we better kind of wise up to the fact as well. Well, went into Vancouver, got a couple of people to come to the hospital. One was actually the former pastor of the church in Olive Grove. The work had closed down, but... And so a couple of people came with me, and we got there. And I'm looking around in the children's ward, the cancer ward, and pretty well all the kids had no hair. You know, and I can be a little emotional, I suppose, but, you know, I went up to Joey, and I shared something out of Matthew, and I said, you know, this same Jesus that saved you, and he says, yeah, I'm saved. I know Jesus. The same Jesus can heal you. Well, that's kind of a bold thing. And I turned to the pastor, and I said, okay, pastor, now you come and pray. No. You're the one who has this word to come. Now you pray. So, you know, I said my best prayer. You know, we believe, but yet there's a little bit of unbelief. And so about a week went by, and I went. You know, I mean, he was in really bad shape. He had no hair. He wasn't expected to live. I went to see the mother almost, you know, in our mind. Well, did little Joey pass away? And she was unsaved. And she got just explosive on me. And I just kind of stood back and, well, what's going on? Since you were there, little Joey went under some tests. He doesn't have any cancer in his body. I said, where is he? He's out riding a horse. Come on now. You you don't mind a few personal testimonies. I have a lot of scripture here, you know. But something else that there's so many things, but I feel they're important to hearing the voice of God. There's a little place called Sycamus. Back in about 1978, I was sales manager of a large national company, Dustbane Products. I had just started Praise Carpet Care, truck mount carpet cleaning, was involved with Bible Fellowship. You know, like, I'm a doer, right? Sometimes you need to sit back and, what am I doing, you know? But anyway, my wife and kids went out on a Saturday to get groceries, and I stayed home, and I don't know, I just got down on my knees, and I says, God, what would you have me to do, and where would you have me to go? What a crazy thing to say. I mean, I'm already overtaxed, I'm already doing this and that and everything else, and the name Sycamus came to me, just loud and clear. And I kind of looked around, and what is a sycamus? I didn't know if it was a moose with, you know, antlers or, you know, I just didn't know. Then the phone rang right away. The phone rang. My friend Bud McLean, missionary evangelist, he said, brother, how you doing? I says, well, I'm okay, but what is sycamus? Sycamus? I just got a call. I just got off the phone. People are hungry for God. Well, it was about 2 years, and we were there planting a church. We saw visitation, revival, healing, loggers coming out of the bush getting saved. Wow. Hearing the voice of God. But we better make sure that we wait for his timing. Because how many have gone ahead of God? Yeah. And you know what? It's not always a good thing. Are you okay with these testimonies? Because I have a lot more.
That's how we overcome the enemy.
Okay. 1969, I'm working in this little church. God is moving. Children are being saved, a few adults. Motorcycle gang comes to the door, and I'm sitting there, you know, just a young whippersnapper. And a guy, he came in, he was going to cause trouble. I grabbed him, and I sat him right down beside me. I mean, what do I know? I mean, I just saved a couple years. Well, he was the leader of the gang. You know, and guys were throwing rocks through the window in the back, and I shared Christ with him. He got up and he left. He says, guys, let's get out of here. Okay, well, what's that? What's that about? Well, while I was there, I was driving a feed truck going into Vancouver, went down a humongous ditch, got all kinds of multiple injuries, was rushed to the hospital, actually died. And I had an out-of-body experience where I could actually see myself, and it was like I was traveling through a tunnel. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because it was so glorious, so beautiful, out of this world. And I believe the voice of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, son, you can't come home yet. I'm not finished with it. I'm still trying to figure out what he wants to do with me. Another time, just one more. I had a real compassion for the Philippines. Wanted to be a missionary in the Philippines. I'd be, you know, here, there, and everywhere, and I'd be meeting all these Filipino people and just really love the Filipino people. So I was going to go as before my family came, I was going to go and I was going to be the evangelist for these groups to take them out into the jungles. So, you know, I'm sitting in the airport, got my ticket. And the Lord said to me, "You can't go." What do you think of that? You know, you do all this preparation, all this and that. And I could have said, well, you know, nuts to that. I'm going, you know. No, I says, okay. I didn't go. 2 weeks later, the Muslims came in and gunned down all that were in the compound. I would have been there. Yeah. So Psalms 3 and verse 4 says, "I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah." Psalms 34, 4, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." Psalms 120, verse 1, "In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me." That's that theme of hearing. In my distress, has anyone ever been, you know, feeling a little distress? "I cried to the Lord and he heard me." We have the confidence that we know that he hears us when we pray. You know, we're looking at positive things. Well, there's a few things that we need to understand as well. Jeremiah 6:10. "To whom I speak and give warning that they may hear." God is trying to get the attention of his people. "Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised," or kind of covered over, not able to hear, "and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it." What a sad situation. Not being able to hear from Father God. Jeremiah 7, verses 1 to 3. "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter into the gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. And now because you have done all these works," works of the flesh, kind of their own thing, "says the Lord, I have spoken to you rising up early." Do you ever have the Lord speak to you early in the morning? Yes. "And speaking, but you did not hear. And I called you, but you did not answer." Hearing the voice of God is vital, isn't it? Yes. Doing the will of God is essential. Obedience empowers us to know the voice of God. The example of the Good Shepherd in John 10, 1 to 5. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter into the sheep fold by the door, but climbs up another way is the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will in no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." I thank God for Pastor Randy and Pastor Christine. These are good people. We love you. Yeah. Once again, the text in conclusion, until I haven't preached for a long time, I'm doing it the old school way, you know. John 5:30, I can of myself do nothing. That's Jesus talking here. As I hear, I judge. Discernment. And my judgment is righteous. Our judgment should be always righteous, but you know what? Sometimes we miss it a bit, right? Because we're not God, and He is. Yeah? Are we hearing what the Spirit and the Word is telling us? We don't want to be the disobedient servant that just, God, I do it my way. You know, I worked as sales manager, and I oversaw 6 funeral homes. And the song that you would hear so often in the funeral home, I did it my way, you know, or whatever, you know. And, yeah, they did it their way. God help us to do it His way. Are we willing to obey? Let's do it.